Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind of thought the Lane Kiffin story was going to die down for a minute, but no. We actually had not reached the peak absurdity of this entire thing. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Well, now we have, bro. So, Lane Kiffin is now with LSU. We all know that. Keys to the kingdom, right? He's got the money. He's got the money for NIL or for his roster. He's got LSU paying any potential bonuses if his Ole Miss players win the national title. LSU owes Lane Kiffin $1 million. He's got the private jet. He's got the club membership. He's got all the trappings that come along with one of these big-time college programs. Okay, but he could not coach his own team, his old team, Ole Miss, because the conflict of interest. Right, Ole Miss, and rightfully so, did not want Lane Kiffin, who's currently the head coach of one of their rivals, in the building, coaching their team. I totally get where Ole Miss was coming from. But somehow, we found out yesterday, they're okay with Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator, formerly of Ole Miss, now of LSU, getting paid $2 million a year to coach at LSU. He's now returning to Ole Miss to call plays during the college football playoff run, however long it goes
right
for the Rebs. How does that make any sense?
You know, it's funny. I know what you're saying logically, but this didn't strike me as that weird. Like, it struck me, like, if I'm Ole Miss, like, you kind of won't even want Lane there. I mean, if you can't get Lane there, this I think you can get away with politically. Why not? You're in the playoff. I mean, you almost want to pull all the stops, right?
Listen, I get this is actually the first time someone has maybe even thought about the student athletes. Maybe someone has actually thought about the, I don't know, players on the football team who actually have to go out and play these games. Yeah, it's better for the offense. You run the same system. You got the same plays, same guy in your ear. That all makes sense. I just am wondering, like, this is peak absurdity to me. Like, no how, no way Lane Kiffin can't do this. And I get it. Yeah. But somehow Charlie Weiss can do it? There was no one else on the staff who would even understand the playbook enough to step into this role to be able to call the plays? Like,
well,
do they
not think
Charlie Weiss is not going to be potentially telling guys, hey, come to LSU?
I mean, listen, if those guys don't know what's awaiting them in Baton Rouge by now, then I think there's something wrong with them. I don't think that recruiting thing is that important anymore because it's already happening. There's no giant loss. If I'm Ole Miss, I don't think it's about protecting the players. It's not about students. It's about Ole Miss has a chance to win the title. You might as well take a shot. I don't think politically this is so damaging to bring him in. Like, who really cares? He's the OC. He's not the coach.
But it's like he already has a new job. And he's, all right, he's the OC, not the
coach.
But
other
he's
schools,
still an appendage of the university, like in a gigantic one.
So do you not want John Summerall to coach this weekend?
But the Tulane and Florida are not recruiting against each other.
Right, but the OC, my counterargument to that is the OC and the head coach are not the same thing. Just because an assistant, you know, I just don't think an assistant.
But Lane wasn't even calling plays. I feel like, in fact, Charlie Weiss Jr. is actually the bigger asset here. It's just odd to me that Lane, it was such a nuclear thing. He could not be on the sidelines. once he decides to get on that private jet to Baton Rouge. You know who was on the private jet with him? Charlie Weiss Jr. But now he gets to take the PJ, what, back to Oxford and do a week of practice and get his old office back and all the awkward things that would have happened just because Charlie Weiss Jr. happens to be one rung lower on the chain of command, that all of a sudden now it's so wildly different. I don't see it that way. And I see this as just a continuation of the circus. You know, if you want to cut ties with Lane Kiffin, you cut ties with everyone who left with Lane Kiffin too. Charlie Weiss Jr. already chose LSU over you. He should have to live with that decision also. And again, the only silver lining here is it's better for the actual players.
But no. Why do you just keep saying the players? Isn't it better for every single person who roots for Ole Miss?
Well, the players specifically, because, and the players on offense specifically, because they get to keep some kind of semblance of normalcy because he's, Charlie Weiss Jr. has been calling the plays all season long.
Let me ask you this. If you were the AD of Ole Miss, you would have said no. So you definitely would have said no to Charlie Weiss, because I would have said yes.
No, here's the thing. Did you see that at the airport when all the people lined up give Lane Kiffin the double bird?
Yep.
And they were screaming the F word at him. And what did they do when Charlie Weiss Jr. also got on the plane behind him? Yeah. Flipped him the bird.
Right.
Middle fingers. Dude left you. And it was such a, like, it was, if for the fans of Ole Miss, it was so stunning and they were so jilted by Lane Kiffin leaving. Yet Charlie Weiss left with him, but now he can come back. And what? He gets a pat on the back?
Well, I'm curious. If you poll those fans and say, you know, Ole Miss about to be in the playoff, do you want Charlie Weiss calling plays? So you think, like, they would say no? Because if I'm a fan, I would say, heck yeah, I got to win a title here.
I think a lot of them would say no. Like, let the door hit you. Because this is the thing, and Lane Kiffin kept saying this. We're talking about the latest aspects of the Lane Kiffin drama. He kept saying the national media understands this more than the local media, right? Or the national media thinks I should be able to coach. But for people who live in Mississippi, they have to live here, and they're very ticked off about this. I think if you polled Ole Miss fans, they would say, Charlie Weiss Jr., turn around, get back on the jet. We don't want you. We don't need you. Maybe you need him, but you don't want him. Because if you're going to say goodbye to Lane and double bird and flip him off on the way out, then why wouldn't you have that same energy for Charlie Weiss Jr.? He also left you.
Because he can help you win. He didn't. By the way, Charlie Weiss wasn't going to leave if Lane Kiffin didn't leave. So that's all on Lane. It wasn't Charlie Weiss's decision to go to LSU.
He's an adult, Pearl. You're making him sound like a child. He can do whatever
Lane
he
Kiffin
wants to
took
do.
The Ole Miss money, would, unless he got a head coaching offer, would Charlie Weiss be in Ole Miss next year?
No, he'd probably be a coaching candidate somewhere else, and he might get a head coaching
job.
Might
be too late. I think he probably would have still been at Ole Miss.
But you're acting like he doesn't have a choice in this whole thing.
He didn't. None of them actually technically had a choice. Said, get on that plane or you're going to get fired, you know?
Yeah, no, because no one ever would have hired Charlie Weiss Jr. again.
Well, yeah, but are you going to get technically fired from your job, though? See, they had to get on that plane. I don't believe what Marty and Lane talked about. Anyway, let me ask you this question.
I love it when it's like adults don't have a choice.
Does Charlie Weiss give Ole Miss a better chance of winning in the playoff?
Did Lane Kiffin give them a better chance? Pearl, same thing. And they told Lane Kiffin to get out. You could say the same thing. Lane Kiffin would give them a better shot. And they told Lane, don't let the door hit you or God split you.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Would they do the same thing for Charlie Weiss
Jr.? Because nobody cares about Charlie Weiss Jr. It's not no one was saying, God, I hope that we keep Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. It was just about Lane. The whole thing was about Lane's decision and his ego. I would definitely take him back because he gives you a much better chance, especially a play caller. They're so specific and they're so oriented around the game. If I'm in that Ole Miss fan, I would vote yes. Because what's the big deal? Like, what's at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt your program. He's not going to steal any more players. Those players are already stolen.
Well, then why not just have Lane around? Like,
I would have thought about
the whole thing.
I probably would have thought about it, but if you could get a guy who's been calling plays, you don't really need Lane around. Lane's already done his work. I think that this is a smart middle road, and you kind of have to. You're in the playoff, Maggie. You don't get this opportunity all the time.
That's why people are mad at Lane Kiffin, because he's in the playoff, and he's the one who decided to leave and botched the opportunity, and everyone wanted to blame the calendar and this, that, and the other thing. Well, he didn't have to take it.
Right,
he didn't have to take it.
But he's gone. That's a sunk cost.
Well, okay. Well, yeah. But Charlie Weiss Jr. was also gone. That was also a sunk cost. And now, for some reason, he's back.
Not for some reason. I mean, this is a very specific reason.
I don't know, Ole Miss fans or fans of football, does this seem weird to you? This seemed like the peak absurd of it. Like, it had already been such a circus for weeks about Willie, won't he? Who's he going to pick? By the way, so again, you can weigh in at 888-710-4ISN. You know how when Lane got introduced to the media, to LSU, and he said he didn't know what was in his contract? All he wanted his agent to tell him was what was the NIL package in each of the schools. And he said LSU blew him out of the water. He goes, of all the four schools.
Right, right.
And we couldn't figure out who was that fourth school. Because we know Ole Miss was one. Florida was one. LSU was one.
And I assumed it was Penn State. But is there a rumor on what it is?
Was it Alabama? There's a rumor out there that Lane Kiffin was not just dragging his feet to coach the Egg Bowl. It was also to drag his feet to see whether Alabama won the Iron Bowl. And if Penn State had gone full on after Kalen DeBoer, that Lane actually wanted the Alabama job. Have you not heard this rumor out there?
Yeah, that,
this is a Todd McShay production. No, this is a Todd McShay rumor.
But did they get an offer? He said four offers. Did Penn State make an offer? I'm sorry, did Alabama make an offer to him?
I don't think it would have made an offer, but he was saying what the NIL package was, right? Like, what could they put together for roster?
Oh, no, he said the four offers I got were all the same.
Yes, he said the four, yes, I guess he did. He said the money was similar. I don't know if he necessarily used the word offer, but might be right about that. But is it possible that, you know, Nick Saban was involved and that this actually was more about Alabama?
No, I don't buy that. Saban orchestrated the LSU thing. That's why that feels kind of hard. Saban has been all about getting him to LSU.
Maybe Saban's working both angles here. Maybe he's...
I have a sense that you're right. That does make some sense. But I think that for some reason, Saban wouldn't play Alabama and LSU off each other. Like, he had Lane targeted to go to LSU, and he's the godfather of the situation, and he figured it all out.
Wouldn't have Saban have more pull at Alabama than LSU?
Actually, I don't know. I mean, I know he has a 2-week standing meeting with the AD, and he's best friends with the AD at LSU. I think so, but maybe Alabama did a tiny break. Is Saban around the program like Coach K is around Duke?
Remember, there was a story last year that Saban was out on the recruiting trail for Alabama, not LSU.
I'm still holding out the hope that Lane makes Nick the defensive coordinator.
Why would Nick take that demotion?
I think it'd be super fun. Like, Nick, at the end of the day, is not a TV person. He's a football coach, and he loves teaching technique to DBs and stuff. Get him out there on the field. It'd be so fun. I'm also, by the way, so curious about this LSU. That they could shell out more money than these other schools. Who are they going to buy on January 2nd? I feel like they're going to put together a dream team for Lane. At least like that's the hype that they're building up here.
Again, this is what we talked about yesterday, the expectations for Lane Kiffin. And I think just what you said, that's how the fan base feels times 100, which is LSU has all this money now, and they're expecting big splashes all over the place.
Well, are they getting, and I forget expectations, are they going to get these guys? Are they going to get DJ Lagway and Lenora Sellers? Is that going to be the quarterback there? That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, we got to wait until that first week of January for the portal to open. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Today is Wednesday, which means it is the Great Debate. EJ came up with this one. Not a shock. Big Miami Hurricanes fan. The question is, what is the greatest college football injustice of all time? Want a quick go around the horn? Pearl, what do you have?
I did Penn State not getting a chance to win the title in 1994, being undefeated in number 2 to Nebraska.
I went with 2023 season. Florida State runs the table 13-0, gets left out of the college football playoff for Alabama. EJ.
I went with 2002 Miami losing the national championship game on a phantom pass interference call in the 03 Fiesta Bowl.
Manny.
I went with the 1998 Kansas State team who lost in the Big 12 title game despite an undefeated season and finished third, didn't get a chance to play in the national championship game instead of playing in the Alamo Bowl and lost.
And Bogish went with UCF, University of Central Florida. The first undefeated season was in 2017, but never got a chance to get into the college football playoff. Mike is in Syracuse. Has another one for us. Mike, what's the greatest college football injustice of all time?
Well, I like to play a little game. It's called blind resume.
Okay.
So if you were a quarterback who threw 3 touchdowns and 13 interceptions for a 2-8 football team, and in your other hand, you had a running back who led the league in rushing, average, scored the most touchdowns and was a unanimous All-American. Which one do you think should get the Heisman Trophy?
Well, let me ask you a question, though. What are the nicknames of both players? Because that factors in.
Nicknames?
Yes.
You're going with nicknames? You're making me sound like Iverson.
What is a... if you call the Golden Boy, you kind of get some Heisman votes.
Practice?
I looked at the stat. I know, by the way, Mike, go ahead and say, because I looked at these stats when I saw your on the call streamer. Explain to people what this is.
So the 1956 Heisman Trophy was granted to Golden Boy, Paul Hornung, in complete and total injustice to Jim Brown of Syracuse University.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, Mike, I mean, racism was obviously playing a huge, huge factor in that. So if you do want to go to injustices, I'm sure there's more that we could go to than what the stuff we were talking about. See, it seems kind of silly and pales in comparison. But
Jim Brown
obviously
was not the runner-up. He was fifth.
He was fifth. I mean, but the guys ahead of him, Ryan McDonald, at least he deserved it.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
He came in, Johnny Majors that year.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Oh, my God.
But Jim Brown came in fifth. The guy ahead of him was an offensive lineman on Oklahoma.
That I don't mind. You know, the big beef in the middle, they should get their just due. But not over one of the greatest running backs.
I don't know. He was good. I mean, what did he do in the pros, though, Mike?
Yes. What did he do in the pros?
Mike, thank you.
Well,
for
he never
that.
Made it to a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, right. Mike, thank you for that one. Yeah, it's Jim Brown not winning the Heisman is clearly an injustice. Should have came up with that one, Pearl. Makes the rest of ours look a little bit silly.
I mean, listen, Johnny Majors and Tommy McDonald could have won it that year too. It was the Paul Hornung thing is weird because he was actually a great college player, but that year he was terrible. They gave him the Heisman.
And that was 1956, he said, right? Was
56.
56. So Ernie Davis ends up becoming the first black player to win the Heisman Trophy. 1961, Pearl, do you know Ernie Davis? He had a couple nicknames.
The train.
The Elmira Express. A little nod to my upstate New York roots. Okay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What is the greatest college football injustice of all time? And what's going on with this Lane Kiffin situation? I think this is so weird that the offensive coordinator can go back and call the plays now for Ole Miss, even though he took a job at LSU, Charlie Weiss's son, Charlie Weiss Jr. That's okay. But Lane can't. All of this is just so weird to me. It's the Maggie and Pearl Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to go. I have to go to class.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
Let's find out who made the grade after this weekend's college football action.
He is totally going to kill at college.
What, like it's hard?
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Maggie and Perloff hand out their college report card.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
College football is crazy. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. You know Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, and like renowned college football writer. I saw him go on a profane tirade against the committee on X. He called them bleep. He's like, these bleeping idiots have no idea what they're doing. I was like, God, only college football can there be so much disrespect for the powers that be. And I love every second of it. So every week we do the college report card. EJ throws these out to us, right? What do we got this week?
All right, so let's go to...
I never know.
Let's go to the Iron
literally
Bowl.
The end of the season.
Let's go to the Iron Bowl.
Bilotti's going to do it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's go to the Iron Bowl, where it got hairy at Jordan Hare for one Ty Simpson, but Alabama did pull out a close win. What grade are you giving the Bama QB?
I mean, I want to give him like an A-plus for all the hits that he took and stayed in this game, converted that 4th and 2 from the 6, which was really impressive. And obviously Alabama moved up a spot, Pearl. I'm going to dock him a little bit. I think that, honestly, I think these quarterbacks are not protecting themselves nearly enough. Ty Simpson, if they get into the college football playoff, they have to play Georgia. You got to be available, man. So I'm going to go from an A-plus down to an A.
Yeah, I would give him an A-minus because he actually could have played a little better, but he's a psycho and I love it. And I'm upgrading him on the Perloff big board. I had no idea that Ty Simpson was an all-time trash talker. I thought he was like the little nice nerdy guy behind Jalen Milroe. Oh my God, he is so different than I thought. And he's really interesting to me as a player. I'm curious, will he definitely go pro too? I think you got to watch that one. Depends. If Alabama doesn't make the playoff, does he say I want another shot? But I'll give him an A-.
I think he is your next quarterback for EJ's New York Jets. But that's just me.
Okay. I got to ponder on that one.
Okay.
Let's go to the game. Yeah. Michigan, Ohio State. Ryan Day now feeling like 94 Steve Young. Got the monkey off his back thanks to his quarterback, Julian Sain. What grade are you giving the young QB for Ohio State?
Well, listen. I was actually watching some of the throws to Carnell Tate and to Jeremiah Smith, and the thought crossed my mind, could I make that throw? And the answer is yes. But those guys were wide open, and Cardell Tate, the ball has to just be somewhere in his vicinity, and he catches it. I will never get off this hill that Julian Sain, while very, very good, and by the way, another big-time future pro, I mean, somebody was scheming guys wide open for Ohio State in this game, so I'm giving him an N.A., not applicable.
Oh, come on. I guess it's Brian Hartline, right? Is the guy who's technically scheming that open. Okay, so first two, start of the game was a little shaky. Those two incompletions, one of them was an interception, and thought that, oh my gosh, is this going to happen again? Michigan, this time they're at home. Are they really going to pull this off? Well, Sain settled in, completed 18 of his next 21 passes, including 3 touchdowns. One was a 50-yard bomb. That's the one Perloff claims that he could make sure. I got to give him an A+. And I almost want to give to... I'll ignore the early interception, Pearl, because it didn't seem to matter. But California guy at Ohio State, snow everywhere, freezing cold. I was just impressed all around. So he's going to get an A+ in my book.
But it doesn't bother you.
That was a bad pick, though, that he threw.
Two top 8 picks at wide receiver.
Yeah, dock Joe Montana for throwing to Jerry Rice? No, I don't.
You should.
Ooh, hot take there. All right, let's go to another team that looks like they're going to be safe in the college football playoff. That is Oklahoma, though things also got really hairy for them against LSU. What grade are you giving their head coach, Brent Venables?
See, this is tough, EJ. You're really tripping us up here because Brent Venables just presided over a 10-2 season, right? They're in the college football playoff. I think they're going to stay in the college football playoff, right? Unless something insane happens. But I think you give them like the A+ for the year. You know, going through a time, Pearl, when their quarterback was hurt, maybe has never been right since the thumb injury with John Mateer, had some really impressive wins this year. So, like, to me, I got to give, like, the season grade almost for Brent Venables. In this game, I'd probably give him, like, a B-. But for the season and going 10-2, I think I would give him an A.
You know,
A+.
I watched a lot of this game. LSU was pretty salty in this game.
Yeah, they were.
Oklahoma's a defense team now, right? Like, I know John Mateer gets a headline, so I think
Venables is the defense guy, right?
Yeah, no, I know. So I got to give him a good grade. He sort of redefined because they were the exact opposite under Lincoln Riley. It took him a while, but I think Brent Venables has built this team in his image, and it kind of works. I got to be honest. I am not wildly entertained by Oklahoma. I thought I was going to come in here and John Mateer was going to run around like crazy like he did last year. And what, you know, you downgraded Texas because they beat an injured John Mateer earlier in the year. Has John Mateer been John Mateer? Has he done the things that we kind of expect him to do here?
Well, as someone who put a Heisman vote on him when they beat Michigan, no, he's not.
Yeah, he just hasn't playing like maybe it is money. The injuries.
Yeah.
But this is a defense team, so I'll give Venables credit for shaping the team in his image.
What's the grade?
Oh, I'll give him a B+ on that one because you should kind of beat LSU and whoever that quarterback was a little easier.
All right, let's go to the Lone Star Showdown. Texas gets the upset over Texas A&M. Steve Sarkisian talking some big words after the game about injustice if Texas is out of the CFP. What grade are you giving Sark for Texas's performance on Saturday?
Are we grading him on his performance in the game, or are we grading him on all the press conferences and interviews he did afterwards to try and vie for the Longhorns to make the playoff?
Man, you understand why coaches could become politicians. You know, there's such a similar skill set. The college coaches are better at it. You know, I've been hard on Sark, very hard. But I'm actually going to give him an A+ for this game, but also an A for fixing some things throughout this season. Pearl, you mentioned fix the run game, fix the offensive line, and, you know, Arch has looked better. He has. So I'm going to give Sark, like, an A for the season and an A+ for that game.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, it was a 2.5-point spread. It wasn't a huge, like, upset. Honestly, I'm a little more worried about A&M. And Marcel Reed has such, like, anybody should be able to run that offense. I still question him. There was a great line. Sorry, I know this isn't about A&M, but there was a great line during the game that I guess Casey Concepcion was recruited, and he said, yeah, I don't know if the quarterback pointed Marcel Reed is good enough to get me the ball. And that is my concern. It's not the talent position players. It's the quarterback. He's great when he's on, Maggie, but he feels so hot and cold, and you saw the cold in this Texas game. So that was a very revealing game to me. I worry about A&M, who I kind of root for, but it's a really fun team. But they seem a bit inconsistent. So I give Sark an A. I give Texas A&M a D for that game, and a big W as if I'm worried about them. W for worry, not for win, Manny. Don't look at me like that.
Yeah, I was rather confused by that one.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
I get an L for my W. On it.
I get an L for giving them a W, meaning worried.
The mind of a writer. Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest headlines.
Guys, we were wondering if the CFP committee would hold Lane Kiffin's departure against Ole Miss at all. It did not. In fact, the Rebs moving up a spot to number 6 in last night's reveal. Ohio State and Indiana remaining atop this list, now followed by Georgia and Texas Tech. Since Texas A&M lost over the weekend, the Aggies dropping 4 spots to number 7. If you care about such things, Alabama, Notre Dame, BYU, Miami, and Texas sitting 9th through 13th. At one point last night, number 4 Duke had a 15-point lead on number 15 Florida. That edge was gone in the final minute of Cameron.
27 seconds to go. Bounces top of the key. Boozer's got it now. Chinyelu there defensively. Dribbles to the right to Ed on the left. He wants a 3. Got it! Big time from Slam. The lead is 1. 67-66. 15 seconds to go.
Isaiah Evans hit that 3. Boogie Flan lost the ball for Florida. And then a last gas full court inbounds pass got deflected into open court. So no final shot for the Gators. Duke survives 67-66. Cam Boozer scored 29.
Folks, can you make that kind of call at a Fordham game?
No, for a number of reasons.
Does anything happen on the court that would merit that kind of call? Is,
that's one of the reasons. Support's another reason. My voice is the third reason. So no.
Wait a minute. That's excuses because Gus Johnson puts mustard on all these calls that aren't worth it.
Gus?
Yes, I love Gus, by the way. I want more Gus Johnson. I'm not a Gus hater. Jack! But he will make a 3rd-and-2 conversion and the first quarter feel like you're winning the national championship.
In a game in like October, too.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Which is a problem for some.
He had a dud on Saturday, and he was trying to make it into something. What game did he have?
Oh, gosh.
It was so funny. I'm like, wait.
Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the...
Oh, sorry. Then maybe... Did he have another holiday game?
That game wasn't that great, though, to be
honest. I think that he was really bummed that Michigan did not...
No, okay. It wasn't that game. Sorry, maybe it was the week before. He had a game with not great teams.
Rutgers, Ohio State, I think, was the week before their game.
That's what it was.
Won't stand
and
for
Gus
this,
did make it exciting.
For this Ethan Kaliak Manis slander.
But it's, you know, is that, who is the critic who came after Gus said, it's not about
Mike
you.
Mike Valenti, and I'm Mike trying Valenti. Desperately to grab this sound.
Not a critic.
Keep talking about Gus Johnson for a minute.
By the way, it was not just like a mild criticism. It was a blowtorch.
I think he said that he faked his voice cracking on the Indiana catch on purpose.
Yeah, he did say that, yeah.
Called him a fraud.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
And that was deep, too, because, like, Detroit, Gus is a Detroit guy, and Mike's a Detroit guy.
No, it was personal, like, Gus had stolen something from Mike.
Yeah.
It wasn't just listener stuff.
How about EJ mushing our guy Boogie Flan last night, sending a group text? I mean, Boogie Flan was going off. That was some New York City
phenomenal.
Hoops.
That was phenomenal to the last play.
Yeah. Oh, well.
5th-ranked UConn last night, a 61-56 winner at number 21. Kansas freshman Braylon Mullins scored 17. The Clippers and Chris Paul divorcing in the midst of a 5-16 start and CP3 playing limited minutes with limited impact. All of this played out overnight with Paul announcing on social media around 2:30 Eastern that he's being sent home from their road trip, which is in Atlanta right now. Team President Lawrence Frank saying in a statement, CP3 is no longer part of the team, but they will work with him on his next move.
Can we say that a network executive needs to sit him down and go, here's the deal, you putz. You're not the storyline. That was such a fake response. He didn't lose his damn voice. He faked it. He's fake. His whole existence is fake.
Do you understand what an incredible broadcaster you'd have to be slash voice like actor to fake your voice cracking in a big moment?
I think Gus could do it. Guy, to your point, he is an incredible broadcaster because he can do that.
Maybe. He sits here acting like, oh, U of D. Man, ain't nobody seen you at U of D Jesuit. Shut up, you. Guy's nothing but a charlatan. What a fake-ass call. He ruins everything he touches.
Charlatan?
I mean, I can't imagine feeling anything like that for a stranger.
Honestly, I got banned from the Garden for saying way less.
He's a fake.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But a charlatan? If someone called you a charlatan, that cuts a little bit to the bone.
I don't even know what that means.
I mean, it's not nice.
Like a fraudster.
Why
you're pretending to be something that you're not,
just
a charlatan. It's a good word. It's like a throwback, bro. Shakespearean.
I love the... I was dying. Remember the Gus Johnson controversy? What was the game? It was Colorado-USC, right? Where he got criticized because he was way too pro-Colorado. Like, he was basically like, Colorado scored, like high-fiving everyone in the booth. He was so into Dion. But it was USC on the other side who had had this high-profile team. It's like, USC touchdown.
Every play on that drive was, oh my God! Because he's fake.
You know what, though?
Guy's nothing but a charlatan.
I love the guys who do college basketball, but March Madness with Gus Johnson is a better product.
I don't dislike him.
I think Gus on football is the ultimate experience.
No, Gus on football is great, but Gus on basketball, NCAA tournament, oh my gosh, right into the biggest vein of my body.
I don't dislike him. I hate him.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't call him a charlatan, but I'm over it.
Guy's nothing but a charlatan.
I don't need Gus yelling on March Madness anymore.
Oh, come on, Lexington. Ah, I love it.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You're with Valenti.
I'm like Valenti adjacent. There's nothing personal.
You dabble in Valenti.
It's just my personal taste in the broadcast. Much Gus.
You want
what a
Joe
fake
Buck.
Ass call. He ruins everything he touches.
I would like Gus more if Gus
picked
saved it
spots.
For the end.
Do you like Kevin Harlan? He's also someone who gets accused of kind of being over the top.
But I think Kevin is better at preserving it till later in the game.
And the cat is elusive.
I mean, Kevin is always descriptive. He's all, you know, there's always extra words in there, and he's entertaining.
But Pete
Carlin is at the right times of the game. Gus yells too early, in my estimation. You got to save your bullets for the, you know, second half, fourth quarter. And I think Gus is shooting wildly from the beginning.
Yeah. I'm wet. I'm dirty.
And you know what's funny? It never seems to impact Klatt. Joel Klatt, who does, he's just like the steady Eddie. And he's fantastic, by the way.
You can't match that. You just got to let Gus do his thing.
Right. Well, there could be it's the right color guy for Gus, too, because he doesn't, it seems to work in some way. And Joel Klatt he's really good.
Yeah, he's excellent.
It's a chicken wing.
So the two of them together is fine. But I like Valenti, too, by the way. He's around the office sometimes. He does a show with Boomer.
Yeah.
Super cool guy.
Yeah, don't get him started on Gus.
I'd say be nice to him when you see him next time. Get him a drink or something. You want to stay on his good side.
Oh, Valenti?
That's not even who he is anymore.
He's a buffoon.
He is a clown.
Keeps going. I've made 9 cuts in the last 2 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, he's been working.
I mean, I'd say less about the guy that stole my wife. This is it seems so deep and personal.
This has to be a decades long feud. It can't be recent. It can't.
Did Gus ever, like, give a rebuttal?
I don't think he did.
No. Honestly, how do you fire back on charlatan? You gotta get a thesaurus.
Nothing but a charlatan.
Let me see what the charlatan.
I mean, I think that's a biblical term, no? Even older than Shakespeare?
Maybe. It's possible.
I'd have to take a SAT prep courses to come back from charlatan.
All right, charlatan. I can't even spell it. Oh, there we go. I got it. Fraud, pretender, you mount bank, imposter.
What was that one? You mount bank?
it's just mount bank.
Sounds like something you smoke at a MSG boxing match.
That dank mount bank.
I feel like charlatan's one of those words you hear it and you kind of vaguely know what it means, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's a sham.
You don't have to, it just sounds like what it is.
But it sounds like something that should be said like right before Alexander Hamilton and Burr do their...
Right.
Or just like someone takes the glove off one finger at a time and slaps you in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlatan. A quacksalver. Have you ever heard of that word? Huh? A quacksalver.
What type of Urban Dictionary is this?
Merriam-Webster.
Ugh. Merriam-Webster fell off, clearly. Giving us words that don't give us anything.
By the way, none of this tells me anything. You know they did Word of the Year? Did you guys see that? Merriam-Webster does Word of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
One was aura farming.
Oh, man, shut up. Was the other one 6'7"?
I just saw the aura.
Well, Hunter Yurachek is on the committee of the Word of the Year. He would probably include it.
Let's see. I guess there's a few. Oxford as the Word of the Year is a little different than others. Rage bait.
Ah, yes.
Josina
that's a man. Exactly.
Josina Anderson and Dole Kleiman.
And Manny Rodriguez.
A and B.
Yeah. Aura Farming is the other one.
All I do is rage bait Andrew Bogish and, you know, from 5 to 6 a.m.
Did you remember in 2023? Oh, wait. 2022, they're giving me. Riz has been a recent Word of the Year. Goblin Mode was
I don't know that one.
Goblin Mode, is that when you're sort of. Like stalking somebody social media wise, but hiding?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just context clues would probably tell me that it's when you go crazy, you know, like on the court, you go in goblin mode. I think I missed that one.
Goblin mode, isn't that a Tyler the Creator reference?
A goblin is.
I don't know.
By the way, 6'7" is the word of the year for dictionary.com.
It's not a word.
No, it's just.
Well, rage bait is two words.
We were both wrong, man. Goblin mode.
What is it?
Oh, what is it?
According to AI Overview, it's a slang term for the type of behavior that is unapologetically self-indulgent, lazy, and slovenly.
Oh, right.
I had no idea.
Often rejecting social norms and expectations.
That sounds like a post-pandemic thing. Biohack is another one for this year. Aura farming, biohack, and rage bait. According to Oxford English Dictionary.
What's the word of the year for this show?
Pants optional.
Lane Kiffin.
Lane
should do.
Oh yeah. Is Lane Kiffin? Do we have a new eBay on hand?
Oh, am I a little obsessed?
Yeah, you know when Maggie gets a topic, like a dog.
One more time.
Shador. I think Shador is the word of the year 2025.
No, it's
Mookie Betts with a slump busting swing.
Slump buster. I wanted it to be slump buster, but
we tried to trademark that.
Yeah. It just the cat like it just didn't work out for me. And you guys were also kicking sand in my eyes about it the whole year. That
damn
didn't
right.
help.
And I think we helped you. No, I think we helped.
kept bringing up the fact that Florida Gators basketball was not in a slump.
It wasn't.
What else would you call it?
Yeah, I'm sure they're quite devastated that they lost to Duke yesterday. They're like, oh no, how are we going to break our slump from winning the championship last year?
Listen, ask David Lee. What would he say?
I watch my intro. Bogus is going to laugh at me because I pretend I'm a college hoops expert, but I actually watched enough college hoops. I'm like, whoa, UConn and Florida are both going to be very good again. I don't think you're going to get a slump busting team in college hoops this year.
Hashtag analysis.
Oh, Matt, you'll find a way.
Well, there was a big story about two potential comebacks. Talk about slump busters. I'll tell you what's going on there.
Wow.
Two major athletes could be on the road back. Who has a better chance to actually win in their respective sports?
Oh,
this would be the slump bust of all time.
What a tease.
Do you get a slump bust if the Patriots win the Super Bowl from 2018?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Get Zach Gelb off the mic.
Wheels are turning.
Maggie
She's
will
looking
sell
for
it.
She'll try and
sell it.
I will come back with an official declaration.
You got Denver from 2015?
MMP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, can we say that a network executive needs to sit him down and go, here's the deal, you putz. You're not the storyline.
Lloyd trying to bounce it. Reverses field. Hit the sideline. Lloyd down the sideline. Touchdown, Trojans. 27 yards. Marshawn Lloyd.
It's Maggie and Perloff.
He sits here acting like, oh, U of D. Man, ain't nobody seen you at U of D Jesuit. Shut up, you. Guy's nothing but a charlatan. What a fake-ass call. He ruins everything he touches.
Fourth down and 5. Sanders sprints out of the pocket. Looking. Touchdown, Omarion Miller. Wow. This kid's electric.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Brilliant editing there, you two. EJ, that was you. Yeah. Manny, that was you. Fantastic.
It was Gus Johnson in the same game, USC Colorado. USC scored. Marshawn Lloyd, 27 touchdowns. Colorado scores.
With a little Mike Valenti in between calling Gus Johnson a charlatan.
We do not think that, by the way.
No, I love I love Valenti, but I'm totally opposite of this take. I want more Gus. I want him screaming from the moment he says hello to us to the moment he says goodbye.
Hello!
Would you,
Maggie? I want him to specifically to do an intro for me screaming.
Captain Mags!
Yeah. Would you rather have Gus and Klatt on the national title game or Herbie and Fowler?
Gus. Gus on a big game makes it feel even bigger. No disrespect, but I don't actually think Chris Fowler is like, he's not my number one play-by-play guy.
I don't know. For some reason, though, it feels like Herbie and Fowler kind of grandfather. Like, it feels like they do the big game.
No, they do. But I think Sean McDonough actually is. I like him as a better play-by-play on college. And I think Greg McElroy does a good job also.
I definitely go Herbie and Fowler. And it's just more maybe what I'm used to. It just, and it's funny because Herbie on Thursday is a totally different thing.
No, he's very backseat.
Yeah, I feel like the big game to me, ESPN nighttime, Herbie and Fowler says it. Where Gus is great in that noon Fox game, and he gives you a lot of curveballs. I'm not sure him doing the national title game with that energy would always work.
I'm trying to think who's my favorite college football duo. Got to think about
that. I'm a big Riddick fan on ACC.
Riddick
that
is
dude
good.
Really
I like Joe Tessitore on a college game. He was not right for Monday Night Football because that whole broadcast had a lot wrong with it. The Jason Witten, the Booger Mobile, that was not set up for success. Yeah. But Tessitore on a college game is dynamite.
I think he's Tessitore and Palmer for me. They're
very good.
Yeah.
Dusty
who's
Dvorak
Riddick with right now? Bob Wischusen?
I think he's with Bob Wischusen. They're also very good,
very
too.
Very good.
I'll tell you who's the smart. Dusty Dvorak, when he gets it. Yeah. If that guy says something about college football, he knows exactly what he's talking about. I've seen him do games and make calls about players' NFL futures that was spot on time and time again. And he doesn't get a lot of love, although he has been on the big ESPN set a lot lately. So we'll see.
Okay, talking about some comebacks here. So I coined 2025 the year of the slump buster.
Great job.
Thank you. It felt good when Rory McIlroy won a major, and it felt good when Florida won the national title. It didn't really hold up when it comes to hockey. I will go to my grave saying the Oklahoma City Thunder was indeed a slump bust, but you guys disagreed. Anyway.
Baseball didn't help.
No, the Dodgers really threw a wrench into things. But anyway, talk about some potential slumps that could be busted, Pearl. Two of our most famous and successful athletes, both tiptoeing around a comeback story. One is Tiger Woods, who is chipping and putting these days, despite how many discs now has he had replaced in his back, like five or six? I don't know. Another back surgery, basically, is what he's coming off of. He's chipping, he's putting, and it's Tiger, which means you know he's going to do whatever he can to play another tournament, probably the Masters. And Serena Williams recently was in a pool of athletes who need to be drug tested. So kind of acknowledging that she is still following the protocols of tennis and maybe thoughts of a Serena Williams comeback. Who do you think would have a better shot of winning a tournament?
Right.
Tiger or Serena?
So you're going singles for Serena? I mean,
yeah, singles.
So we won't count doubles.
No, singles.
Oh, definitely Tiger because it's golf.
You always say that, but
Tiger also, he never retired, did he?
No.
Yeah, so I definitely think it's Tiger. I mean, listen, there are some funny courses. Tom Watson almost won the British Open at 59. It can be done. Phil won the PGA at 50. Yeah, I mean.
But he wasn't coming off of a back surgery.
Yeah, but the only reason I say that, too, is because Tiger, we never would have thought he'd win the 2019 Masters, and he did it. So because at 44, I give Serena no chance.
See, I think it might actually be Serena, and here's why. Tiger, no matter what, has to play the course, and his own body has to hold up. You could get through a tournament at times where either someone gets upset in an early round, someone has to pull out with an injury. Like, your opponent really matters. So could Serena get an easy draw in the Australian Open or something like that and end up winning? Possibly.
She has the endurance to get through all those rounds, no matter who the opponent is. Feels like that's what the older players wear out. Tiger's 49. I mean, listen, 44 in tennis, just a blind resume.
It's old.
Feels a lot worse than 49 in golf. And I know he has had back surgery, but he's had miraculous physical comebacks before. Maybe figures out something.
I don't know. He hasn't finished a major in a while.
Like, yeah, but he did.
Has it made the cut or finished?
So he had that huge slump from 13 to 19 and then came back out of nowhere. I mean, I'm not giving either a great chance, but I would go more on the golf side.
You guys?
I mean, I think neither have really any chance, but I would somehow, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I think I would lean Tiger.
And I keep saying Tiger Woods should retire. Like, I think that it's a waste watching him. But could he get lucky and his back hold up for a weekend, maybe? Yeah. Serena being 44, I just think that's an age too old.
She lost all that weight, though. Not that it mattered. She was, you know, she didn't need to.
I don't know. Tiger's been way too hurt over the last half decade now. I would put my money on Serena.
Yeah. I definitely would rather watch Serena play than watch Tiger play now.
Yeah, no doubt.
For a fact. Like, I think Serena could actually probably be competitive.
I felt bad watching Tiger try to walk that course, whatever course it was. It made me feel bad watching him limp around.
It'd be more emotional if Tiger did it.
Yes.
You know? Because Serena would just be coming back from retirement.
Yeah.
Tiger coming back from the crazy back
surgery. Tiger made the cut at the Masters just 2 years ago. It's not, you know, he made the cut.
Then what happened?
Well, yeah, I know. My guy Victor Hovland didn't that year. I remember I lost a big bet on him.
I remember that.
And that's where we'll end it. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez. Great job, guys. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.